The book of Proverbs, I believe, is where I'm going tonight, chapter 27. And as with many of the Proverbs, it is a verse that stands all by itself. Chapter 27 and verse number 4. Wrath is cruel and anger is outrageous. But who is able to stand before envy? Just think about that. Let's read it again. Wrath is cruel, and anger is outrageous. But who is able to stand before envy? Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we want to thank You tonight. We have the blessed privilege to enter into the house of the Lord. We pray that You might work abundantly in our hearts and lives tonight. I pray, Father, that You would speak to us. I pray that You would help us to find an answer to this horrible question. Lord God, tonight, may Your Holy Spirit lead us, direct us, guide us, and most of all, that we might be fully surrendered, submitted, that You might fill us. Lord God, we thank You for the privilege to be here. We ask now that You would just move upon our hearts. Lord, I give You permission to have access to my total length. You do what You need to do tonight. I pray now in Christ's name. Amen. Please be seated. On this Mother's Day, I have a great fear. That fear is that we have families that are under assault. My fear is that motherhood is under assault, and thus some of the reason for preaching this morning's message. I fear that our families could be very easily destroyed. I actually entitled the message tonight, How to Destroy a Family. It's not my objective to show you how, but I believe that the Scripture does teach us how that comes about. Let me read something that I found here recently. There were two people. One was covetous, the other was envious. To these two people, a certain person promised to grant whatever they should ask. So whatever they asked, they were going to have. But there was a catch. He would give double to him who should ask last. Okay. The covetous man would not ask first because he wished to get a double portion. And the envious man would not make the first request because he could not bear the thoughts of thus benefiting his neighbor. However, at last, he requested that one of his eyes should be taken out in order that his neighbor might lose both. That's really kind of a sad twist to a story. And yet I believe that it really pictures something tonight as we look at this horrible thing of jealousy, of envy. Jealousy, envy, I believe, as you study the Word of God, rears its ugly head within families more than any place else. It is the one of many who are in a family who believe that another is getting better favor than themselves. Of course, when we have little children around, why, one of the things you always hear is, that's not fair. And you constantly hear one of them say, well, they get two and I don't get two. And, of course, my common thing was, what my mother said is, if they jumped off the bridge, would you jump off the bridge? And, you know, it was always some answer that I got like that. We find that this thing of jealousy showed its awful head, first of all, in the family of Adam. As Cain, we find, was envious of his brother, and it was proven by his murderous actions against his only brother. Interesting. The first family of Israel had all the brothers envious of Joseph. Why? Because of their father's favor to him. However, we learn from Scripture and we know from experience as we look there that His love was Rachel, and the firstborn of Rachel was none other than Joseph. And, of course, to the firstborn was a double portion. And yet these brothers were envious. They were jealous of Joseph. We find that you go clear to the New Testament, you see the rich man with two sons, and one of them became the prodigal. And when he came home, we learn that the older brother was jealous of the younger because of the fact that his father gave him a party and he'd never had a party. And after all, he'd stayed and served his brother. The question tonight is, are you a Cain? Are you a Reuben? Are you a Simeon? Are you a Levi? Are you a Naphtali? Are you a Gad? Are you an elder brother? Are you one of these kind of family members? Let me ask you a question tonight. Before I ask the question, when I was in Bible college, I remember one of our dear loved professors. He was a pastor of a church. He stood in for us one day and he said, "Boys, you're going to have to understand something. Someday you are going to be driving an old rattly Chevrolet, and the wheels are about to fall off of that thing, and one of your church members is going to come driving up in a brand new car, and you're going to have to be really excited for them. Will you be able to do that, or will you be envious of them? Because if you have that envy in your heart, you're going to find yourself out of the pastorate very quickly." Interesting thought. My question to you is this: are you happy over the promotion of another one? Remember, especially in our families is where we find this to take place. We find it in our churches. We find it. It's in our close fellowship places, is it not? We're not normally too awfully jealous of, you know, the guy that lives out in West Omaha that we don't know. But somebody who we know, somebody that's close to us, and we get jealous of different things. Are we happy over their promotions? Are we happy over the privileges that they might have? Are we excited to the positions that they might take on, or the popularity that might be theirs among others? Or are there someone or maybe several who just aggravate the fire out of you all the time, and even when you think of them? Where are we at in this thing of envy, this thing of jealousy? I believe jealousy and bitterness are cousins. And they destroy lives, they then destroy families, they end up destroying churches, and yea, they even destroy nations. Both of them are a product of our pride. Both of them are a product of our thinking of ourselves first. And unless we are willing to pray the psalmist's prayer, I believe that we will probably never even realize it. Isn't it a crying shame? So many things that we can see in the lives of others we cannot behold in our own lives. Is it not to us that the Lord said that we need to get rid of the beam out of our own life before we try to pick the mote out of another? And the Lord's trying to teach us something, and yet we are so slow to learn. I have found that there's a scripture that, boy, when you do it and do it in earnest, God answers. In Psalm chapter 139, verse 23, he says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." I have found by experience, when I ask God that in sincerity, it is not 60 seconds later and I know the answer to that. If you want a prayer that's answered quickly, ask God to reveal your sin to you. And be ready for the answer. I mean, if you're really sincere about that, God will bring that answer to you. And I believe there's a reason for it. It's because God wants us to bring that up, that we might see it, that we might say, "Oh God, forgive me," and we might find ourselves delivered from it. Let's think about jealousy for just a few moments, because I believe that it's a tremendous destroyer. I believe it's of the devil, and he seeks to destroy. One of the things I believe it destroys is our inner strength. Listen to this back in the book of Proverbs as well. Chapter 14, verse 30, it says, "A sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy the rottenness of the bones." Think about the bones for a moment. That is which holds us up. If it were not for our skeletal structure, we would be an amoeba. We'd be just all over the place. And we'd be just sliming around, from this spot to the next. But it's that which gives us that stability and gives us that which the muscles attach to, in which we can actually what move about, and we find certainly that what God is trying to teach us is that there's an inner strength and jealousy will destroy it. Because it's that which eats on the inside and tears up that relationship that is with the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's that which destroys that kind of inner strength. Book of 1 Corinthians, we find something interesting in that chapter 13 where it's the great love chapter. I love the word charity. He says in verse number 4, charity suffereth long and is kind. Listen to the next three words. Charity envieth not. Not only does jealousy destroy our inner strength, but I believe jealousy ends up destroying our charity. Charity is that love that is expressed one to another. It is that which focuses upon the needs of the other rather than our own. And when we're jealous, we don't want them to have a blessing. And in fact, we're upset because they are. And our love then heads out the door. It's a very destructive force, and as mentioned before, much like bitterness, a destroyer in our lives. I believe, thirdly, that jealousy will destroy our walk in the Spirit. Found in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 25, it says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Well, I tell you what great, wondrous verses these are. Listen to the next one. He says, let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Why does he bring up envy here in the context of walking in the Spirit? Because jealousy will destroy our walk in the Spirit. When we have that envy, when we are jealous of others, when we are upset because they have favor, because they have that position, because they are in a place of popularity or privilege or whatever it might be. They've gotten the promotion at work, and after all, you deserved it so wondrously. You deserved it more than they did. And when you're in that position, all of a sudden, that walk in the Spirit is gone. The love that ought to be in our hearts has disappeared. The strength that ought to be ours is gone. And yea, even our wisdom departs because of this thing called envy. In chapter number 3 of the book of James, verse 14 says, but if ye have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. He says this kind of wisdom is not of God. It is that which is earthly. It's that which the world lives by. It is that which ultimately destroys us and destroys our relationships. And it is simply not what God wants in our lives. There's something interesting as I begin to study this in light of the families that I mentioned earlier. It's interesting, the family of Adam. As you study the family of Israel, when you study the family of the prodigal, it's the envied one who's the hero of the story. The jealous, the envious one is the villain. Interesting spot. It's not for you and me. We ought not be envious of others. Oh my goodness. When brother gets blessed, we ought to be blessed. They're getting blessed. Rather than being envious. When sister gets that wondrous blessing, we ought to be blessed. Rather than having the jealousy creep up into our hearts. I believe it happened to David. He was the hero and Saul was the villain. I believe it happened with Jesus because he was the hero and the Pharisees were the villain. It happened with Paul as the Jews were jealous of him. And yet Paul was the victor and those were the losers in this thing called life. Why? Because jealousy was theirs. When I look at people and think of Abel, as I think of Joseph, as I think of the prodigal son, as I think of David, as I think of our Savior, as I think of the Apostle Paul, there was something in their lives that they did not allow, and that was an underlying hatred to come into their lives because of others being jealous of them. David is especially typical of this, as we find that not only did have his predecessor, but we find that then even his son rose up against him. And we find that David, in the entire midst of it all, had a love and a compassion rather than a hatred and a jealousy or whatever might be towards those who had come against him. They rose to the occasion with love in their hearts. They arose to it with forgiveness in their life. And I believe that is the answer to our text when he says, "Who is able to stand before envy?" Those who can love and who can forgive in spite of the thoughts of others. Amen? It's where God wants us at. It's where God intends for us to be at. How we need to be practitioners of this thing that God gave to you and me called forgiveness. You say they don't deserve it. That's why it's called grace. They didn't merit it. I understand that. Neither did we. Aren't we fortunate? For by grace are you saved through faith. Aren't we fortunate? Isn't it a lovely proposition God has handed to you and to me? And God wants us to be willing to do the same unto others. I tell you what, there's a wonderful place to be. I like the term footloose and fancy free. I'm not sure what that means. To me, it just means, hey, I can just dance a jig and I just don't have any troubles. Is that what that means? I don't know. Is that a Georgia term? No, okay. I don't know. And listen, you know, when I'm not holding any of those things, don't have a grudge, don't have a jealousy, don't have an envy, when I am free from all of that, it's a wonderful spot. Amen? I mean, it's a wonderful, wonderful spot. I must confess, I'm not always there. And we find ourselves in these positions. We find ourselves, you know, with these kinds of things. And God doesn't want us there. We lose our walk in the Spirit. We lose the love of God in our soul. We find ourselves being destroyed from the inside out. Being eaten up. The last thing I need is inner eating. I don't need that. They developed, you know what, into D? Sometimes they develop into eating really inwardly called ulcers. All right. But seriously, we just need to learn how, just love and accept everybody. William, you're different. You know that? You're different than anybody in this room. Okay? And you got your little quirks. I got my little quirks. Matter of fact, you're different. I'm weird. Just say amen. I am weird. I do some weird things. I got weird thoughts. Okay? And I'm different than you are. By the way, if you think I'm weird, what do you think I might think? But seriously, we just need to understand forgiveness just erases all of those things and makes it a wonderful difference. Wouldn't it be boring if everybody was like you? I know it'd be boring if it was all like me. And so I marvel how God has made us so differently and how God wants us just to love each other, have that forgiveness in our hearts because they're going to do something stupid. I guarantee it. Listen, if you've got more than two people in your family, somebody's going to do something stupid. Let me rephrase that. If you got two, somebody's going to do something stupid. And, you know, it's just going to happen. But we got to learn that forgiveness. Otherwise, that envy, that bitterness can build inside. Who can stand before it? Those who learn how to forgive. Amen. Father, tonight, I pray you work in our hearts. I pray, Lord, you might bless us. I pray that you just help us to see that the old devil just like to destroy us, like destroy our families, like destroy our church. Lord, how we need strong families. Lord, I pray for every dad here. You give them great wisdom. Lord, I thank You today for every mother here. I thank You for their determination, their desire to walk with You. And I pray, God, You might give them the great wisdom that they need in their life. Lord God, I pray that You would mold into every, especially parent here, that characteristic that is going to help them to lead their family in the right direction. Because we know tonight the devil would like to destroy it. We know tonight that he would like to pit brother against sister. We know tonight, Father, that he'd like to pit husband against wife. We know that. And Lord, we know that this whole thing of bitterness and envy and jealousy, it is a great tool of the devil. And so, Lord, help us to just be like You, forgiving. Lord, bless in this time of invitation. I have no idea how You wish that to take place, but God, maybe You work in the heart in a certain way today, whether in this service, perhaps even while they're in their lonely moments, perhaps even as they got out of bed this morning, perhaps they need to do something about it. So, Lord, I pray that in this moment that You would just be glorified. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.